A set of scriptures came to mind on the one upmanship that grudging spirits would like us to get into the pattern of, and that's in Luke chapter 9, starts in verse 51, where Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem, as it says in 51, that he should be received up. So he's heading there to be crucified, and he steadfastly sets his face to go to Jerusalem. So once the leading was there to go to Jerusalem and that the work should be finished, he wasn't going to get turned aside for any reason, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So he wants to stay some time, maybe overnight in this village, and they don't want to receive him because he wasn't going to stay for a while. He was going to Jerusalem, and this was just going to be a short stopover, apparently. And so they didn't want him to come because he wasn't going to spend some time with them and whatever they thought that he was going to do. So this is apparently offensive to the disciples. So in 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this — Peter's left out of this one, bless his heart. We get James and John here. They saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as did Elias?" So that's their reaction to this slight, to this offense, to this affront by the village of the Samaritans. And when you learn about what this is talking about, the situation where Elias called fire down from heaven, and them trying to compare it to this situation, let's do it just like Elias did, you see that the comparison is not valid at all. Because in the Old Testament, this is when God sets up the situation for Elijah to taunt these false prophets and to have the altar set up and the barrels of the water, you know, poured out around the altar and so forth. And fire comes down from heaven and it destroys the altar and the stones and laps up the water and it kills the prophets and stuff. And so the comparison is not valid at all because it was false prophets that get killed. And so here they're trying to have somebody else destroyed here. So Jesus' response to them is not, "Yeah, sure, let's go for it, because these are terrible people, and this is an evil spirit that's worked out of them toward us." He turns and rebukes them and says, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. So Jesus was not going to hold a grudge against these people because they were mean to him or offended him or didn't want to accept him into their homes. And he tells James and John that, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. This is not Holy Spirit working through you. This is evil spirit working through you. And because God didn't send me to destroy people, he sent me to save people." So something is discombobulated here in your head. This is the wrong kind of attitude. This is the wrong kind of idea. It's the wrong spirit. And so to not hold a grudge, no matter how small the slight is or how big the slight is or how small the offense is or how big the offense is, God doesn't send us to destroy somebody. God sends us to save them. And then in Luke chapter 11 is one of those places where Jesus is again teaching us the lesson about what we need to be doing when we're praying. In Luke 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you will receive them." So the context is not just grace, but the context is whatever we're praying for. If we have faith in it, then God will give it to us in the context of God's name. So in 25 he says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Mark 11, 24, 25, and 26. So the context is praying, and when we're in that situation, if we have aught against any, so if we have anything against anybody, he says, forgive them. Because if we do forgive somebody, then God, which is in heaven, can forgive our trespasses. But if we want to hang on to what we have against somebody else, then God cannot forgive us, which is a pretty plain statement and probably a good one to remember. That if we want to hang on to that grudge or revenge or however it is that we want to label it against somebody else, then God cannot forgive us in particular of that thing that we're hanging on to. Like we said one time, God can't take anything away from us that we don't want to let go. So that's just a fact of life. If we want to hang on to a grudge or hold a grudge, then God can't get rid of it for us. And we will continue to have that against somebody else. But the implication is also that hanging on to that grudge will interfere with other stuff that God wants to give us too. Because we're not following this commandment. So forgive if you have aught against any. You got anything against somebody, forgive them so that God can forgive you your trespasses.